turn to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, we'll read verses 25 through 47. John 5, 25 through 47. And hear now God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming, in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. But the testimony which I receive is not from man. But I say these things so that you may be saved. He was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, testify about me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from another, and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? And those are God's words to us. And here is Christ. He has already, in the first part of the chapter that we heard last Lord's Day, he's declared that he is the Messiah, that he is the coming one, the Christ, even the mediatorial king. In verse 27, he's been given authority over judgment because he is that Son of Man in the book of Daniel that we've been hearing about. To Christ belongs the resurrection of the dead. Later in the book, he will claim to be, he will say, I am the resurrection and the life. But it is not Christ alone who testifies that he is the Messiah. And that's what we see in verses 33 through 47. Different witnesses testify about him, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. First is John the Baptizer. He was a witness. Christ is saying, he was a witness that I am the Christ. And second, my own works that I perform, that I do, these testify that I am the Christ. Because if you look back at the prophets, they said these things would be so, and these would happen through the Messiah. And these would be signs of his coming. And he's been doing these things. And then third, the Father is a witness that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And then fourth, and finally, the scriptures themselves testify and witness that he is the Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God. The fact that Jesus is the Christ is testified through the law and the prophets of the Old Testament. When he says Moses, he's saying it's the law and the prophets, the law itself. And so Jesus is the Christ. He is the promised one. And he says for those seeking life forever, I am the resurrection and the life. And more particular, he says, I am, claiming to be Yahweh. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful that Christ, your Son, the Son of Man, the Son of God, He is the Lord. That He is God. And we are thankful that You have given us Him, one of the persons of the Godhead. You've even given us of Your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, who dwells within our hearts. And You, by this Spirit, have changed our hearts, as it says in the Scriptures that You do. And You've given us faith to believe in Christ, Your Son. And yet, Father, here we see, and throughout the book we'll see, many of these Jews who believe the miracles, and yet refuse to accept that Jesus is truly the Christ, because they do not listen to the Scriptures. They do not listen to the Father. They don't listen to what they've heard from John, and they don't look at and see the works for what they truly are. They follow because they think that Jesus is some great prophet and therefore doing miracles. And Father, we pray that we would not just think of Jesus that way, as the miracle worker or the good teacher that many in our world think of Him in our day. But Father, we pray that we would see Him as the Christ, the coming one, even the one foretold of that we'll read of this evening in the book of Daniel. That our hope and our trust, our faith, our submission in all things would be unto Him alone. For He is our King, and He is our Lord. Father, we're thankful also that He is our prophet who speaks to us Your word. He is our priest who sacrificed Himself and continues to pray for us, interceding with the Father, with You, that You would receive us. Father, we pray that You would hear His prayers and answer in accordance with Your will. And Father, since He prays perfectly in accordance with Your will, Father, we ask that You would answer all His prayers. Those prayers that are for us and for Your church. Father, we pray for our congregation that You would keep us going, that You would bless Your people, that You would grow us in number, that You'd also grow us in sanctification and holiness and piety and knowledge of You. Father, we also ask that You would be with our families, to remember that more importantly than our individual families, that we are part of the one family of God. And yet those individual families, there are many in distant relations or close relations that have forsaken You, have turned from You, who don't want anything to do with You. We pray that You would save their hearts and remind them of the word they've heard. We ask even for our children that You would save their souls, that they would not be only visible members of the church, but they would be part of the true universal church throughout not only the world, but spiritually in Your eternal kingdom. And Father, we thank You that You have brought us thus far. We pray that You would continue worship in this place, that many would hear the gospel, and You would bless many, many who are undeserving and who deserve Your just displeasure. Shower many with Your grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.